Bays, I think. I think we got the Bays. Well, I base them off at the bottom. Let's take it from the last line. Bays them off. Avonosim zelzeh mat naschinim. They're allowed to give to each other gifts. It says in our Mishnah, you're not allowed to barter to Maaser Sheni, but you're allowed to give gifts to Maaser Sheni. So, Masisin Rav Meir, Armor is like Rav Meir. Do Rabbi Meir Omer, because Rav Meir is the one who said, Ein matana kamecher. A gift is not like a sale. Am Rav Yisir, he said, not true. Divrei HaKol, Armor should be going like everybody. This is like we learned in the following very interesting brisa. I never saw this brisa before. Obviously not. It's not in the Bavli. I can say with definitiveness this is not in the Bavli. You can say it too once you see it. No. This is in my sin Yerushalayim. A person would say to his friend, Ma achal toyom, what do you eat today? His friend says, kites. I ate dried figs. Vayedea, the questioner, would know shu b'chor, that he didn't eat dried figs, he ate b'chor. Why? Ma'akayit nimkar b'zol, afa b'chor nimkar b'zol. In Yerushalayim, they used to speak in code. And when he said kayit, he meant b'chor, just like a b'chor, a dried dates, or a dime a dozen, they're very cheap. So to b'chor is very cheap, because there's a limited amount of people who are allowed to eat b'chor, only kohanim. So therefore it's relatively cheap. Hoya oimer lo, mon. If the guy, the person who answered would say, I ate mon today, hoya yedeya, the questioner would know shu meiser sheni. And so there was, he ate Maaser Sheni. How so? Ma mon nitam b'matana, just like mon is given as a gift. Why was mon given as a gift? Nobody would buy and sell mon in the Midbar, right? It was all very cheaply available, right? So nobody was, there was no market for mon, right? So to Maaser Sheni, a Maaser Sheni nitam b'matana. Maaser Sheni is given as gifts. Meaning, it is given as gifts, it's not given as a sale, right? Now, this proves that even Rabbanan can agree that you can give gifts of Maaser Sheni. Even though normally Rabbanan hold that that a matana is like a sale, and therefore in Yovel goes back, but it's like mon in this case. What does it mean? By mon, a gift of mon was a meaningless gesture, right? Because everybody could get mon. So to a gift of Maaser Sheni is not a true gift. A true gift is where there's hotovas hanoah, right? Where I give a gift because I have a favor, I expect a favor, you know, whatever the case may be. By Maaser Sheni, there's no such thing. And therefore, Maaser Sheni, we give it as a gift even according to Rabbanan. Again, we're learning from the comparison to Mon that there is no system of favor on which those gifts are built, so therefore, even according to Rabbanan, you're allowed to give Maaser Sheni as a matana. It's not considered to be a business transaction. Okay?
Hey, see. Actually,
benefits from because
he can actually eat it.
Yeah, but Maaser Sheni is so limited, it's so restricted, so therefore it was a negligible benefit. Right? You had to eat it in Yerushalayim, and you had to eat it also Betara, so it was very negligible benefit, so therefore it wasn't considered to be a true gift, like a gift of land or something like that. Okay, to that extent.
So, what about. We didn't say anything about Maaser Sheni Makadesh and Isha.
No, we didn't speak about it explicitly. We will, but we didn't yet.
Because theoretically you could use it to make Makadesh and Isha.
Right, it does have value. It does have value. But it's not significant enough value to make it forbidden to give gifts of it. Okay? Now this is going back on the... we'll see. Hey, Stephen asked the question. Are Maaser Behema, Divrei HaKol or Nibkar? The Maaser Behema, everybody agrees, is not allowed to be sold. But the Marta needs Matzoni. We know you can't give Maaser Behema as gifts. So Avzen eat the Matzoni. So it must be that also Maaser Sheni given as a gift, which is a riot, Rabbi Yossi, who said that even Kohen Rabbanan, you can give it as a gift. Rabbi Mona Lo Amar Kein. Rabbi Mona did not say this. Elik Rabbi Yuda. Rabbi Yuda Eso Sok Kin Chosav. He said that the Sefer, which says that you can give a gift of Maaser Sheni, it's not like Rabbanan. It's like Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? He holds Maisa Sheni is your own property. Since it's your own property, of course you can give it as a gift. Rabbanu, it's not your property. It doesn't have status as your property. Therefore, you're not allowed to buy, sell it. And therefore, words, gift to be a classic gift, you wouldn't be allowed to give as a gift either. So that's why we have to come out to Rabbi Yehuda's part. That's not a classic gift. He says, our Mishnah, the same for the Mishnah, which says you're allowed to give as a gift, is going to the Rabbi Yehuda. Well, it is your own money. And since it is your own money, you're also allowed to give it as a gift. I guess the corollary of that would be you're allowed to sell it as well, but the previous part of the Mishnah, which said you're not allowed to sell it, that was not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Yet only this portion is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Again, Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, also soaking the chasav. Hey, Sivon, they asked, what good does that do? Meister Behemah, everybody agrees it's not like your property. And yet, nonetheless, you don't own Meister Behemah. You can't be Makadosh Anisha with Meister Behemah. You say it can be given as a gift. So it must be that this giving of a gift here is not contingent on it being considered your money, but rather, like Rabbi Yehuda said before, because if it's of negligible value, and therefore I've said even a ton of that is as far for why Maaser Sheni can also be given as a gift. Okay? Getting back to the Mishnah, the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to be not allowed to.
What's going on? See, that's the advantage of Kavnoki, that has headers. A little header here.
This is going on. The Mishnah says, Maaser Behemah, you can't sell it when it's alive and whole, nor Balmum when it's live or dead. So it sounds like a live Maaser Behemah, a Maaser Behemah which is shechted and was whole, you're allowed to sell. In other words, the korban of Maaser Behemah. The Kohen has a Maaser Behemah animal which he shechted in the Beis HaMikdash and he got the matonus from it. So he's allowed to sell that. That's what it sounds like in a Mishnah. Now it's a Maaser Behemah when it's alive, whether it's a mum or not, and when it's dead, if it had a mum. But if it didn't have a mum, it sounds like you're allowed to sell it. So it sounds like the Kohen who gets it is allowed to sell it, right? Says the Gemara, Hashachar Mutar, Tani Verabiane, no, Lo Shano makes a difference, Ben Chai, Ben Shachar, Ben Tami, Ben Mum. Regardless of the status of the animal, you can't sell Maaser Behemah, but it doesn't belong to you to sell it, right? There's no ownership in it. Hai Kohanim get to eat it? Yes, but that's a classic case of Mishulchan Kavoa Kazachu, meaning that they're just guests at the table of God. It's not their own property to buy and sell. So even though they get to eat it, they don't get to sell it. Okay? Says Gemara further, V'laido Mila, for what purpose? Like we say in Hebrew, for what words? T'nan chai v'lo shachut, does it say that you can sell it alive and not slaughtered? You can't sell it slaughtered either, right? I mean, they can sell it, you can't sell the law, Tanachai v'lo shachut, right? You can't sell it alive.
Tanachai v'lo shachut, you can't sell it.
Oh, why? Yeah, okay. V'lai damila tanachai. Why does it say you can't sell alive? V'lo shachut. Why doesn't it say that you can't sell when it's slaughtered either? This is the way we read it. V'lai damila tanachai. Why does it say you can only can't sell alive? V'lo shachut. Why doesn't it also say that you can't sell when it's slaughtered? I'll tell you. Begin nisi the basar, because we want to mention afterwards habachor mochin oso tomim chai, where before there is a distinction. You can sell it when it's whole, when it's alive. Uba mum a chai v'shachut, and you can sell when it's ba mum alive or dead. So therefore, since there you're not allowed to sell it when it's shechted, so therefore we didn't mention shechted in the previous case either. Okay, we didn't want to get into shechted. Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov v'shem Rabbi Yochanan says, Ne'mar kan lo yigoel v'ne'mar.
Looks like he has a gear, so here.
Not yet. Ne'mar kan lo yigoel, it says by by Meiser Behema. It cannot be redeemed. V'nemar b'cherem e'kohanim. It says by that, a cherem for kohanim, meaning a field which is given over to the kohanim, which is donated to the kohanim. Lo y'macher v'lo y'goel. It cannot be sold, nor can be redeemed. Ma lo y'goel ha'nemar b'cherem e'kohanim. Just like the lo y'goel, which is stated by a cherem of a kohen. Eino lo nimkar v'lo nigal. It means that not only cannot be redeemed, it also can't be sold. Av lo y'goel ha'nemar kan. So to the lo y'goel, which is stated by the Meiser Behema, means eino nimkar v'eino nigal. That v'lo nigal. That it can't be sold, nor can it be redeemed. Now, here there's an added-on girsa. The Gra adds it on. See that the Ridbaz brings it down. In the third line, the Ridbaz. Let's just see the Ridbaz in the beginning. Rabbi Abba Yaakov Shem Rabbi Yaakov says, Nemakan lo yigoy v'chulei, eno l'niko l'niko, avo b'chor, this is the added-on part, avo b'chor, but by b'chor, lo ksiv elo lo si padeh. By b'chor, it only says it should not be redeemed. It shouldn't have a pidyon. Okay? So that means that all you're not allowed to do by Bechor is not redeem it. But there is a possibility of selling it. Okay? Again, the difference in the Lashon. Lo Yigoel implies a Gzer Shava to Cher Mekohanim, where it's not just Lo Yigoel, not just not to redeem, but also not to be sold. But Bechor doesn't enter into that equation because there's no, the word by Bechor is not Lo Yigoel, but rather Lo Yipadeh. So what does it mean Lo Yipadeh? Can't be redeemed. Well, can it be done? It may be sold. L'chor may be sold. Rabbi Yaakov de Rume, boy kumi Rabbi Yossi, asked Rabbi Yossi, klum ksi b'chor lo si padeh. Does it say by b'chor it shouldn't be redeemed b'ba'mum? It should be ba'mum. It says ba'mum here. Wait a second, what does he change here? One second. If you take a look at the Ridbaz, the sixth line from the bottom. Vagroza b'ksavi akotcho goras, he changed gears here too. Klum ksi b'vchor, does it say by b'chor lo si padeh b'bamum klum ksiv b'chai. I forgot what that means. Perush im kein kosher minole b'bal mum v'chai de nimkar. In other words, lo si poder only says by a tomim. Yeah, okay, so this is the way to read it. Okay, let me go back to where the Ridbaz began bringing down the Gra. Again, Vagroz Abuksavi Kotchagras, Klum Kisib Bhor Bamum, Klum Kisib Bhor Losi Bode, Bebamum. Where does it say by Bhor shouldn't be redeemed, but then again it can be sold by Bamum? Klum Kisib Bhai, does it say that by an animal which is without Mum, that Losi Bode? So it seems to indicate that where can it be sold? Where is the only thing which is forbidden, pidyon, and it can be sold by Ba'amum. But who says that you can sell a whole animal, right? Again, only says it by Ba'amum and not by whole animal. So says the Gemara. No, so that's not a kasha. You know why? Meiser Behema, lo chilka Torah ben chai ben shochet ben tam ba'amum. Just like by Meiser Behema, the Torah never distinguished between live or dead, tam and ba'amum, so too by Bechor, even though the word lo si padeh, which indicates but you may sell it, only is stated by ba'amum, we extrapolate and infer. Just like by Meiser Behema, where it's forbidden to sell, it's forbidden on all counts, so too by Bechor, where it's permitted to sell, it's permitted on all counts. And therefore, the Kohen can sell, of course, even a Bechor, which is not yet a Baal Mum, which is alive or dead, etc., etc. They can all be sold. Okay? And now, says the Gemara, a Mekachim Bo Saisha. We cannot use I think it's going back on Maisa Behema. You can't use a Maisa Behema in order to. This is really a header. Emikachi Bosaish was a header because in our Mishnah it said that you can't use, I think, Meiser Behema. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. It said on Bechor that you can use it to marry a woman. Why? Of course, since you could sell it, so it means it has value, so you can use it for Kiddushin. But in Meiser Behema it said, Emikachi Bosaish, you can't use it to be a Mekadosh woman. Why? Because you have no value in it. You're not allowed to sell it. So therefore, it can't be used as cash of Kiddushin. Okay, that was in the sixth line down in the Mishnah on Aleph Amud Aleph. So now says the Gemara, it's true you can't be a Mekadosh woman with it. I'm a Mekadoshin, you can be a Mekadosh woman begidov, with its cartilage, uvatsom of its bones, ubekron of its horns, ubekloth of its hooves. This is the fundamental question, of course, in gelatin, as you all know, that whether the bones and the hooves and all that are part and parcel of any forbidden animal. We paskin they're not, right? So hypothetically, gelatin should be permissible. The problem is that none of the processes are considered to be exclusively limited to the use of bones. But hypothetically, bones of even a treif animal, I shouldn't say treif, even a carbon animal, certainly a treif animal, are permissible, right? So that's what we see here, right? You can be a Mekadosh woman with the bones of an animal, of a Meiser Behema. Even though Meiser Behema itself is forbidden to use for barter and exchange and trade or marriage, you are allowed to use the bones.
Is that why bone china is permissible?
I don't know. I'm not sure how bone china is made. I don't think it really has bone.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's just the whiteness comes from a bone. It's not the substance of bone. I think it's something to do with the white witness. What? Yeah, we have the Babli, yes. This is a Babli issue. Right, as long as no meat, yes. We have that in Masech Tuchulin. Because we know that the Malacha is that the Atzomos shall Isser mitzarfos leheter. The bones of the prohibited substance join in to nullify the prohibited substance itself. Amar Lezer, Lezer said, why is emanesh kosubo brocha? Very strange, serious a kosub. But it says, maizrema brocha. Sa brocha. So what's the bracha? The bracha is that you get to use the bones. Okay? Be Mekadosh b'psori. So be Mekadosh with its flesh. If it says bracha, be Mekadosh with its flesh. Am Rabbi Yossi klum lom du meiser el micher mekohanim. You learn meiser b'ema from the cher mekohanim, from the third line down with Suzuka, not that far. From the cher charoim mekohanim, from that which is given to the kohanim. Ma cher mekohanim e mekachi b'mesisha. I did not know this. That which is given to the Kohanim Zacharim, you can't use me Mekadosh and Isha. It's a fascinating thing. I guess the Kohanim don't actually own that which is given to them as a Cherem. Mesech the Becheris, in Bavli, we learned all about Cherem. You know, if a person makes a field of Cherem, it goes out to the Kohanim and Yovel, he never gets it back. But it seems that it doesn't actually belong to the Kohanim. Because although you can't be Mekadosh with real estate anyway, that's a separate issue. But let's take an object, which you made a cheirim for Kohanim. Seems the coin cannot be Mekadosh with this because it's not really his. It's the collective tribe of Kohanims, right? And therefore, he can't be Mekadosh with it, he can just use it. It's an interesting concept.
You can't sell it.
Yeah. And he can't give it. Can't use it to marry a woman.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He can't use the charamim to marry a woman. So to any kachim, you can't use it to marry a woman. So says Mara. So if that's the case, let's turn the tables. So you shouldn't be allowed to marry a woman with the cartilage, with the bones, with the horns, or with the hooves either. So it says, have a tzurcha, that's what necessitates, like he dom Rabbi Lezer, nesh kosmen bracha. That which Rabbi Lezer said, that because it says bracha, that bracha gives you the right, authorize you to be Mekadosh woman with the bones, etc. Rabbi Yudan boy, Rabbi Yudan asks a fine question. Omar li isha, a man says to a woman, mishchili meiser behema zu, take from me this meiser behema, Shetiskachi libo, you should marry me with it, la'acha shchita, after shchita. Me'acha sheyesh biyodo lishcho mekudeshes mikvar, since he has capacity to shecht it, is she already mekudeshes? Or do we say, o la'acha shchita? Or is she only mekudeshes after shechita? In other words, right now he has no value in it because alive ma'aser behema is worthless. But when it's dead, so then it has, it can be, when it's shechted, it can be eaten, right? It's a shlomim. So the shaila is if he can mekadesh with this portion which he has. Now this seems to contradict the previous gemara. Ribaz says, if you take a look at the first Ribaz, in the second line, it says, at the end of the second line, Perish Lamadam Adadafka Michaim Oser. We learned before that whether it's alive or dead, you have no value in it, right? You can't buy or sell it at any point in its existence. But this going to the pity that holds that only when it's alive, it's Oser, Avo Shachot Mutar, but once it's dead, it's permissible to compare Shapne Moshe, right?
Yeah, but it's not dead yet.
So now the Shiloh sits after it, said you'll have right in it. So it's like, since it's biyado,
so is it like a dead,
is the potential, walker? Right? It's like a shechted cow walking, right? It's like a steak on the hoof, right? Okay, right. So Rabbi Zira b'shem, b'shem Rabbi Bo Bar Memel asked, Hagoyin ev meiser behemah shel chavero. If so, I steal your Meiser Behema. Imayakim, if it's still alive, Machzir Lebeno, I give it back to you as it was stolen. So it's a stolen object. But if he ate it, that's it. Why? Because you had no real value in it, right? If it's still alive, it's a stolen object, I'll return it. Not because it's worth anything, but because the object is stolen. But if it's dead, if I already ate it, I don't have to return anything because you had no value in it because you have no right to buy and sell it. So therefore, once I ate it, tough on you. Is that clear?
Yeah, the value of the meal. I mean, he would have a steak meal, so that costs.
But that's assuming that we give him now the value of that which would be worth after its slaughter. Yeah. We don't. It's only a shaila by Kiddush Aisha, but not to return it. Okay, that's what one is assuming. Or perhaps he's arguing, saying it's clear to him that it's not, can't be Mekadosh Nisha either. I'm not sure what his perspective on that is. But he says right now when it's alive, it has no value for him. So therefore, if it's slaughtered and eaten, there's no restitution at all. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Blezer B'Shem Raimona said, in Omer Lo, oh, he changed the gear, so here, just a second. Change the gear, so. Ein Omer Lo Shiite. Right, we don't tell the guy, he says, we don't tell the guy to pay back the thief, even if the animal's still alive. Even the animal's still alive, we don't tell him to give it back. Why? Now here's where he makes the major change. Milso Amara instead of oh. This teaches us, these words tell us, they indicate to us, it's like Shmamina. Pachas Mishavet Pruta Ein Omer Lo Shiyitein. If it's less than the value of Pruta, we don't tell the thief to give it back. In other words, even though it's a stolen object, it has no value for the person from whom it's stolen. It's less than a Shavet Pruta vis-a-vis him. It's if I stole from you a toothpick. So even if the toothpick is Bain, even if the toothpick is in front of me, in front of you, nobody can tell the thief to give it back. It's less than Shavu Pruta. It might be ethical for him to give it back, but it can't compel. So too, if the Meiser Behema is a live animal, we can't compel the thief to give it back, despite the fact that it's here in front of us. So be Kiddush, right?
Opens up Pandora's box.
Right, but only for less than Shavu Pruta. Can't open it too wide.
This is only when the animal's alive.
Yeah.
Well, if you're ready, shechted, the same thing.
Really?
Except according to Mandama, we see we had a machlokas before.
Right.
Whether shechted, you have rights in it or not.
Right.
So according to being that once it's shechted, you have rights. So then it can be demanded back after shechita. According to being that when it's slaughtered, you have no rights. It can't be demanded back. It can't be sold. You're not allowed to sell Meiser Behema. So if it has no, if it can't be sold, in essence, the same thing as if half is no value. Okay, Amrei Chinen, Chinen said, "Hod the Tamek Shena Yafish Shaver Pruta Meikaroi." You know what? This is only true. Not talking right now about the Meiser Behema. Stam Alochem Choshim Mishpat. If I steal something from you, you can't compel me to return if it's less than Shaver Pruta. What happens if when I stole it was more than Shaver Pruta? Now it's worth less, right? What's the law in that case? Avinu yoyofet sharpruta meikara or melosh yitain. If originally I stole it, it was worth a sharpruta, now I could be compelled to give it back. Okay, is that clear? Because one more time it's worth the pruta. Rabbi Yehuda getting back to the issue before, Maaser Behemah and its status. So it's a pruta. So the Rambam says get Malkus.
But it's still lav shi'ei. So therefore.
No. Because the Rambam says you can't do ashava unless it's sharpruta.
Oh, yeah?
It's not called the Maisa Ashava. So if you had Adim and Asura, you get Malkus. Okay? Says a word further. Rabbi Yehuda ben Paz, Shemir Rishuba Levi says, Chai lo shachut. Now these terms are confusing. Let me just make sure I don't make a mistake here. That bechor that it says you can sell it when it's alive and it's whole, it's specifically when it's alive and whole, but not after it's shechted, okay? Chai, you can sell a bechor when it's alive, not when it's shechted. When it's shechted, you can't sell it. Why? Because when it's shechted, even though the kohanim get to eat it, they're already not eating their own stuff, but they're eating mishulchan gavo, their guests at God's table, as we said before. Okay? So tamot ninon, we learned over there, hamakadish b'chelko b'kotchi kotchim, a kohen who consecrates, who's makadish a woman, who marries her, with his part of a korban chatos, or kachim kalim is part of korban shlomim, eino mekudeshes. It's not a valid kiddushin. Now it says in Masechta Kiddushin, it says Rabbi Lezer omer divrei akol. Rabbi Lezer says everybody agrees on that. Rabbi Yosi omer machlokes. Here says Rabbi Yosi says machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda bar Pazi.
No.
Om Rabbi Yehuda bar Pazi. Rabbi Yehuda bar Pazi said, Rabbi Yehuda Yalif kol hektesh mi b'chor. Rabbi Yehuda learns all hektesh. It's not. I said Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda learns all hektesh from b'chor. Ma b'chor mekachim as a isha. Just like with a b'chor, he can be mekadesh a woman. Ava kachim mekachim bo as a isha. So to any kachim you can marry a woman with. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir Yalif mi kol b'chor kol kachim ma'aser behema. Raimer learns all kachim ma'aser behema. Ma ma'aser behema ain mikachim ma'aser. Just like ma'aser behema, you cannot use to marry a woman. I've called kachim, so to all kachim, ain mikachim ma'aser. You cannot use to marry a woman. Now, machlefa she tossed Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi. I have a kasha. Seems Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi exchanged his perspective. Tamanu oimer. Elsewhere, there he says, in this case we just brought down. And this statement just brought down Nei Rabbi Ben Pazi, Ben Chai Ben Shochut. There's no distinction between alive or dead. Whatever you can do regardless. And by Bechor, you can do regardless, be Mekadosh a woman. No distinction. Whether it's alive or dead, you can be Mekadosh a woman. But here he says you can only sell a live Bechor, not a dead Bechor. So it's a contradiction. So what's not a contradiction? Talmud B'Shem Garmei, there he said it on his own. And here he's saying Rabbi Shua ben Levi. In other words, on his own he holds there's no distinction by Bechor alive or dead, you can buy and sell it. And Rabbi Shua ben Levi drew a dichotomy. When it's alive, you can buy and sell it. When it's dead, you cannot. Why? Because you're a guest at God's table. Doesn't want to know. You can even say in both locations, it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi himself speaking. How so? B'mekadesh b'chai. That which he says that he mekadesh with a live one, b'roi lipulo lachar miso. Yeah, mekadesh b'chai, mekadesh is a live one, and when it's roi, when it's suitable to be yours after shechita. Now that's an interesting thing here. In other words, the vav, by the way, in lachar is extraneous. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi said you're only allowed to sell and buy A live one, not a dead one. So I am a Kaddish Nisha with it. You give her in the live animal the portion which you're going to have after it's dead. Okay? It's like, it's kind of like Brero though, you know? You give her the right in the animal to the portrait you're going to have after it's dead. But I guess that's not so difficult. It's not really Brero. Because by a Bechor, you know what portion you're going to get. Because the Bechor is not divided up among several Kohanim. One Kohen gets the Bechor. So, and there he gets whatever is normally given from Bechor. The Chazer, the Shok, I forget. I think by Bechor he gets the whole animal. He gets everything, not just the Chazer, the Shok. It's not like a regular shlomi where part goes to Hashem and part goes to him, but rather here he gets the whole animal. So I think that's the pshat here, that he's mekadesh the one while it's alive with whatever he's going to get after shechita. Okay, let me just check that's correct here. Yeah. Okay. Says the Gemara, Ma, turning the page. My time with Rabbi Shimon Levi. What's the logic of Rabbi Shimon Levi who says you can't be Mekadesh one with a Bechor unless it's alive, not with the dead one? Says the Gemara, Besorim Yelucha Kechazei Atnufa. Its flesh would be for you like the breast, which is given over. Oh, I think I was wrong. No, I was right. Bukhari does get the whole thing to eat. No, that's why I was close. I was. Bukhari does get the. If I was a good Chabatsker, I would know this all by heart. HaBechor, it doesn't say here. It doesn't help. Just says, HaBechor ne'echal ha'koni v'amaitzel chol odam. But I'm pretty sure the coin gets all of it. It's just that some of it he gets directly, and the chazev ishok he gets after it's nufa, after it's waved in the air. And that's what he's saying here. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, "Ubesarim yelecha, the flesh which you get directly from Bechor, but you're going to get from Bechor, is like the chazeh atnufa, is like the breast which is waved in the air. Meaning, just like the chazeh atnufa, we all know, goes to God, and God lets the Kohanim eat it. It's not really theirs, and therefore they got to be Mekadosh, it's as if they're guests of God's table. So to the rest of the flesh is they're getting from God's table, and therefore they can't be Mekadosh a woman with it. Okay, that's Rabbi Shimon Levi Sfara, why only when the Bechor is alive can you be Mekadosh a woman with it, because at that point it's still yours. Once it's dead, everything you eat, even though you get to eat the whole animal, it's a gift for you from God, just like, or you're a guest at God's table by the entire animal, just like you're a guest on the chazeh atnufa, on the breast which was waved as well. Okay? Umay time of the Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, what's the logic of Ben Pazi who says that you're allowed to be mekadesh with the Bechor even after you slaughter it? Yelucha, it's yours. And that means afilu lachar shechita, even after shechita, it's still yours. It's the coin that he can be mekadesh with it for that reason. Ma mekayim Rabbi Shimon Levi yelecha. What does Rabbi Shimon Levi do with the pasuk of yelecha? Chor, it's an extra pasuk. It seems to indicate that the Kohen has rights to use it for his own purposes, l'cha, meaning to be Mekadosh a woman. Says more, no, it teaches you something else. Ribul chavai acheres. It teaches you an additional eating period. Havaya literally means in existence. But here it means an additional eating period, meaning that you get to eat it for 2 days and one night, not just 1 day and one night. Okay, that's what it gives you. Okay.
So 2 days, one night is by
Bechor. Yeah, here it says. in the Eizel Mekomen, that is here. The a Shlomim and a Bechor can both be in Lishnei Yomim V'Laylo Echad. So that extra night, over that extra night which you get, that extra day which you get, is learned out from the word lecha, that you get an additional time to eat it. Because, you know, by the kachim, it says yom v'layla. You only get one night, one day and one night. And by toida and el nazir also, you only get one day and one night, right? So how do you get the extra day? That's learned out from yelecha. So instead of using yelecha to teach us that the Kohen can be Mekadosh Nisha with it even after it's shechted, he uses yelecha to teach you get an extra day to eat it. Okay?
So what is Rabbi Yehuda Ben Pazi, what does he do with that? I mean,
how does he know it? I don't know. Maybe because he draws a parallel to Meiser Behema. Because Meiser Behema, we say also the same thing. Maybe it says, Yelechoma Meiser Behema. I don't know how he learns it out. Says more our Mishnah, which says you're not allowed to be Mechal HaMeiser on an Asimot. The low Rabbi Yudosa, it's like Rabbi Dosa. The Tani, we learn Mechal HaMeiser. Meiser Sheni al Asimon, Divrei Rabbi Dosa. Kor Rabbi Dosa, you can redeem Meiser Sheni on an Asimon. The Chachomim Osim, Chachomim are the authors of our Mishnah, would say it's forbidden. Ma time of the Rabbi Yosi. What's the logic, Rabbi Yosi? That says you're allowed to use an Asimon, which is a slug, right? So why Dovashu Nitzar Mechaveiro? It's something which is more shapely than its friend. It was an asimon, it's still a slug. It's not a piece. You know, like a slug is a shaped piece of metal. It's better than a rock or ore, O-R-E, right? So therefore, that's considered to be enough of a tzura for Rabbi Deitza to use an asimon to be mechal ha-meiser. It doesn't need to have an imprint on it. It doesn't have to have a mint. It doesn't have to be minted. Chachamim argue. Chachamim says he adds on here the Girsa's type of son that it should be my time at the Rabbanan. And what's the logic of Rabbanan? Sheyesh lo tzura v'yetzah gav tzura. So when it says v'tzarta akesef, it means the coin has to have an imprint, has to have an image on it, and that its value. Literally, the extent to which it's expendable is determined based on the image on it. Rabbi Yosef Bashir, Rabbi Yochan says, Divrei Rabbi Dosa, Kor Rabbi Dosa, Mechali Meiser Litro Shel Kesef. According to Rabbi Dosa, fascinating halacha. I don't know if it's fascinating. It's interesting. You can be Mechali Meiser Sheni, can we deem it, on a Litro Shel Kesef, on a weight of silver. Now, the Gemara asks, why do you have to say a weight of silver? Why both components? So here it's important to see the Gro brought down the Ridbaz here. See, Mechali Meiser al Litro Shel Kesef. Umefayish Gemara the Gemara explains Madu Amar Litro Shel Kesef. Why say Litro Shel Kesef? Lema Litro Lechud. Let him just say a Litro. He can be Mechal on a Litro. O Kesef Lechud. Stam Lechud. Or just money. Okay, were it to have just said litra, I would have thought even gold. A gold weight is not good enough. You know why not? Because a gold weight is not as spendable. People are not willing to spend gold. They collect it. Silver they're willing to use as currency. So that's be a weight of silver, not gold. Okay? Let's go to the Gemara. Let's see if we can stroll through the Gemara with whatever gear set it has here. Ilo Amar, Ilo Amar Kesef. It should be, if I didn't say Kesef, Havid Ami, I would have said Geshem Shomar Kesef Kachamar Zov. That it's not just silver, it's also gold. Ilo Amar Kesef. What if it just had said kesef and not had said the word litra, weight? I would have said, well, lohotzi here should mean to include. So the gear of the Gro changed that also. I would have said that even broken pieces of plates and pots would still be good. In other words, it wouldn't have to be a weight. Right? Just pieces of silver. not pieces of silver, but, you know, cracked pieces of silver. Having man, the girl takes out the word man, having litro shel kesef. Therefore, it says on litro shel kesef, which is a la simon, which is similar to a slug in certain respects. In other words, again, it has some weight, it has some shape, that shape like a weight, and also has more expendability because it's not gold, it's silver. So that's sufficient, according to Rabbi Doisa. But not broken pieces and not gold pieces. Those are no good. Okay? Says more further. Hakomodim, everybody concedes, Shem Machalin Amos Hanesunos Olayer. You cannot redeem Meiser Sheni, a money which is given to a bathhouse attendant. Why is that? Because bathhouse attendants are desperate for cash. I don't know why, because their business is slow, and therefore they'll take a lot more things than you would normally be able to spend in other locations. Harder the Tamar Bederach Shein Yofin Eitzel Ulayer. Now, it says more, a very interesting comment on that. That's only on the value which they have by the bathhouse attendant, because the bathhouse attendant will discount you and to give you a higher value than your money is actually worth in order to lure you into the bathhouse, right? But this money, which if the a bean seller, a tumasur, it's a bean seller, if he'll accept it, then you can redeem Ma'aseh Sheni based on the value for which he'll accept that money. So I'll tell you about, like, for some reason the bathhouse attendants have accepted it as being worth more than it really is, whereas the bean seller is accepted only at a depressed value, which is more realistic. So you go by the bean seller, and that you can only redeem Ma'aseh Sheni based on that value, not on the value in the bathhouse. Okay? I guess you have to have known economic conditions at the time to fully appreciate this. So therefore, we're a little bit in the dark. But this is clear. Matbea shenifsa. What about a coin which is no longer valid? But via machus mekablosa, but the government is still accepting it. So the Pnei Moshe says another machus is accepting it, but not the machus you're in. But the bottom line is that it's still spendable to a certain extent. So Rabbi Yisim Shem Rabbi Yenison said, Kasimon, the same machlokus you have Asimon will apply to this, right? Because Asim is similar to Asimon. It's not completely a coin, but at least partially a coin. Somebody's accepting it. Rabbi Chiya B'Shem Mirenesa says, no. It's like the coin of old kings. Meaning, it's not acceptable, and therefore you can't be played in Ma'aseh Sheni, even called Rabbi Doisa. Says, Neymar, Imo Yoyotzi Agav Tzuroso. Let's say like this, in order to reconcile the issue. Neymar, let's say, if it can be spent because it has a shape, then you mechal on it, and if not, because it's being spent because it's even though it doesn't have an imprint, because it's a slug, or because it has a certain weight, then you can't be mechal on it. So we're really passing like Rabbanon. It has to be yoytzei, Agav to Russell. The reason why it's accepted is because of the minting, the imprint upon it. That's what determines a coin in halacha. Okay? Matbea Shemarat. What about a coin of a rebellion? Kigom ben Koziba, such as Bar Kochba's coins. Eino Mechala. Doesn't work. Can't use them. Why? Because although Bar Kochba was using them for the time when he was rebelling, it wasn't considered to be a bona fide coin. It's an interesting thing. Oh. Yeah, it's kind of subversive. You know, Bar Kochba's trying to stage revolt against the Romans, and we tell him, can't use your coins to be Mechala Meiser Sheni. Well, that's what it says here.
This is written after the fact.
It's true, but it sounds like even during the fact they would have the problem.
Well, maybe Romans censored this.
Maybe, could be. I don't think so, but it's an interesting theory. Says
it really doesn't make any sense to me, because I was always under the impression the coins during those times were dependent upon the weight.
No.
Obviously it's not.
They wouldn't trust the weight. The imprint would be, because weights were very variable. Not everybody had a scale to weigh at the time. That's why the imprint was so key. The imprint was kind. Even it was either, it indicated standardization of weight, or served in lieu of a standardization of the weight. So that's why it was important. Okay?
Like
Confederate money, that's right. Confederate money, not be good to be Muhammad Meister Shani. Very good. Hailo Moshe Sakana. This is a strange kid.
School money.
School rebelling against the government. Hailo Moshe Sakana. That's a major typo here. The Gra changes to money of Yain Nesach. Via money of Yain Nesach. Asahuv to Kumid Rabbi Yami, this is familiar from Bavli many times. The story like this came from Rabbi Yami, that a guy had money from Yai Nesach. Omar, so he said, Yolo Chanoi Lomi Amamelech, you have to throw the coins or something was worth their value into the Amamelech. Hailo Moshe Diskinis. He had money issued by Diskinis, who was an emperor. What? I don't know if it's the same one. We had him before Diocletian. Maybe it was. Anyway, so this emperor, he lost his reign. In his hometown, but the money was still valid in somewhere else. That's what I think he says here. It was still somewhat spendable. His reign was over, but the money was still somewhat spendable. Rabbi Yaakov Rezai Shere Avo said, "Mechalin kishen yokeder shen yovasei tzaturmuser." So he returned to the bean seller. The bean seller determines the minimum value of the money, and we were mechalin ma'itzasheni based on that minimum value. Bikish lotzion, mechalin if he wants to spend them in Yerushalayim, right? Okay, redeem Meister Shein these coins, right? Now in Yerushalayim, he wants to buy food with these coins. He's supposed to do it. Because he wants to spend Yerushalayim, so you have to spend it in proportion to the same way you redeemed on it. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but you're spending, you should make sure to spend in buying Meister Shein with these coins as much as you use them in order to redeem Meister Shein the time redeemed them. But somehow you shouldn't make a profit on the deal. I can't conceive of it exactly, but you got the idea. Do you get the idea? Okay. The value when at time you spend them has to be parallel to the value that they were at time redemption. Tani, we learned. Emichalon also. Now, the truth is, the girsa here is all messed up. The Rabbah changed the girsa and makes it very nice. But I'm just going to bulldoze my way through. Tani, Emichalon also. Rabbah is a very small print, so it's easier just for me to tell you it outside. Tani, Emichalon also, law Moshe in Bavel. If you're in Eretz Yisrael and your money is in Bavel, you can't be Michalon on it. Because right now you're in Eretz Yisrael. Babylonian coins don't work in Eretz Yisrael. And vice versa. The law of Moshe ben Bavel, the law of Moshe ben Bavel. Truth is, won't work without the Ritbaz. They shouldn't be lazy. It doesn't make any sense the way it's written in the Gemara. Let's read the Ritbaz. Emechaleso law of Moshe b'kushe b'kan. B'bavel. Meaning, b'oime b'bavel, you can't use money which is here when you're in Bavel. V'lo ha-moshe b'Bavel kan b'oime kan. And you can't use money in Bavel when you are here. Okay? Skipping the brackets. Ha-ilu ha-mos mi-Bavel le-Bavel. V'u ha-meid kan ne'me o'esa derab chusa. What if he had... Well, that's an interesting question. Let's see how he interprets it. Perush. You're not Michal if he has money here and he's standing in Bavel, not by his money. And so to when he's here around most Bavel and the money's in Bavel, and he's not saying by his money, and a Michal, he can't be Michal. Avlim Oimid Khan. But what if he's standing here in Eretz Yisrael, for Yeshit Shlomo's Bavel, he's got Babylonian money. In Eretz Yisrael. V'sholeach osam leBavel. And he could theoretically send them back to Bavel. If it's the ways are open to Bavel, v'einu shas charamim, and it's not a time of cheirem, in other words, of difficult travels, mechalel aleyin. You can be mechalel. In other words, let's say you're in America. I mean, in Israel. In Yerushalayim, you have dollars. Can you mechalel on dollars in Yerushalayim? You see the question? If you're in America, Israel, and your dollars and your fruit are in America, you can't, and your dollars in America, you can't be mechalel on them. If you're in America and you have shkolim in Eretz Yisrael, you can't be mechalel on those shkolim. What if you're in Israel and you have dollars? So that it says you can't be mechalel. Why is that? As long as there's easy to travel back and forth. Why is that? So the Gemara asks for Tavus Kain, is that good? Does that make sense? Well, Mushani, and the more answers, I'm still in the Ridbaz. Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Avin says, Hiskinu, they made a takana, skipping the brackets, Shekol Matbeos HaYetzis Yerushalayim, all money works in Yerushalayim, especially dollars. See, it was true even back then, right? Became a chain of Shas Charomim, since it's not a time of danger in traveling, HaYukol Matbeos HaYetzis, all money would work. Okay, Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim, Falkein Mechalim, that's a good Mechal on them. Okay, now going further than Gemara, the second line on that down on base.
That's the advantage of the
Ribbaz. What?
That's the other advantage of the
Ribbaz. Yeah, we get to skip the more. Right. Rabbi Rabbit said, Kol Matbos Yerushalayim, Yotzis Yerushalayim. All the coins work Yerushalayim. Why? Not just because of the Takon and the Rabbana, if Nate came. Because this, Hashem Yifei Nof Mesos Kol Arts, it was a joy in the entire land, meaning everybody came to Yerushalayim, so there was a lot of business there, so therefore everything worked there. Yochol Imoy Lomos Bar Melech. Now here the Ridbaz changes the gears again. He takes out the word Haramelech and rather changes Hoylomos Tzmunos Biktzora. He had money which was hidden, in other words, it was under siege in Ktzora. It's not under siege. It is under siege in Ktzora. Mechal leinkim yuchal on them? No. Tamlo mitzarta kesa biyadecha. Has to be that you can take the money in your hand. Mal biyadecha? What does biyadecha mean? Birshusecha. It has to be in your rishus. And if your money is somewhere else where you don't have access to it, you can't be mechal. Even if you're in Israel. And your money's in Israel, but it's somewhere else where you can't get it, can't be mechal on it.
Mark Vils.
Rav Yehuda boy. Rav Yehuda asks the following question. It seems like it's a statement. Not boy, even though it says boy, it seems like a statement. That's a cool case. Nova Kisla Bor. Your wallet falls into a bore, into a well. Ubo Mary money had $100,000 there. Loti Chamishim Ribo. You would have to spend, however, $50,000 lahalos oson lahalos in order to get it out. So then I say oson chamishim ribo k'moshem birshu. So when being mechal meiser on this, how much chilul meiser can you do? 50,000, because the difference between the two. Okay, so that's a statement of halacha. We'll stop here for this evening.